Thank you very much, Brother Stephen. Appreciate the opportunity to come along tonight and say a little bit about the Ploughing Outreach. And I want to put on record our appreciation to the session here in Coleraine for the opportunity to do that, and also the congregation for your prayerful and practical support of this work over a number of years now. And I trust that your heart would be encouraged this evening as you hear and see a little bit of what goes on from year to year. It was cancelled this past year, as you appreciate, because of the COVID pandemic, and they're hoping greatly that it will go ahead this year, because this year marks the 90th anniversary of its commencement. It was cancelled once before, back in 2001, because of the foot and mouth outbreak. If you remember back then, they couldn't hold it that year either. So it has been cancelled twice in 90 years. But they are hoping to have it this year, because the World Ploughing Championships are coming to Ireland this September as part of the National Ploughing Championship. It usually is a three-day event, but because of the World Ploughing Championships coming, it will become a four-day event, and they're usually more crowds. That's why they're adding on an extra day, because of the nature of it. They're trying to break the 300,000 barrier of visitors. They've almost got up to it in 2019. I think they're only a few thousand off it. And they certainly want to break through that barrier, and I suppose they anticipated doing that the year that was passed, but that is certainly their plan. So I'm very glad to be here tonight. I am here representing the Consider Christ Committee. I don't serve on that committee of presbytery. You're only allowed to serve on three, and I was already on others when it was set up, and even though I was involved in the ploughing, I wasn't on that. So I'm representing them tonight. There is, it has been brought in underneath the presbytery. For a number of years it wasn't, and it was just some of the men down who worked down south, laboured. Mr. Colin Maxwell started off with Reverend Gordon Dean as well, and others, and those from around the border churches as well. And I've been involved in it since 2007, and that started by asking our brother Colin Maxwell a question at the week of prayer. So be careful when you ask that man a question, because you could get roped into something. But I knew that they were changing how the outreach was conducted and hiring a marquee, and you'll see that in the film. And I asked our brother Colin at the week of prayer, well, how's it going? And he says, well, sure, why don't you come down and see? So that's how I ended up coming down and seeing. And I've been there, thankfully, each year it has been on since then. I'm thankful for the opportunity. I always had an interest there in it, so that's why I was asking about it. And as a minister, you appreciate your week. You don't know what can turn up in the course of any week, and you're always looking to the Lord to keep that week free so that you can go down and be involved in it. And I'm thankful that that indeed has been the case. So I'm very glad to be here tonight and representing the ploughing. If you turn to the Word of God, I'm not going to preach. There's the film is about 23 minutes long, and we'll watch that in a moment or two. But I do want to read a portion here and draw your attention, make just a few passing remarks on it in the context of outreach, apply it to our own lives in that regard as well. And then we'll watch the film, and then if there's time afterwards, I'll make mention of a few prayer requests specifically that we would certainly like you to focus upon and say a little bit about the different aspects of it. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, is where I want you to turn to. It's the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. So to the end of that chapter, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 29. We're breaking in a little here to the account of this man's conversion, but I'm sure it's a familiar portion of Scripture to you. So we'll read from verse 29 of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. We'll end there at verse 35. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. This portion of scripture is often taken in the gospel, and why not? It's a wonderful illustration of conversion because of this man who was brought to know Christ, this Ethiopian eunuch, as he was traveling back from Jerusalem to his own country, and how the Lord brought Philip across his path and led him to the Lord. But I want you to think about it a little this evening with regards to evangelism. And there's some points I want to make. As I say, I'm not going to preach, but I just want to draw your attention to some of these points. I want you, first of all, there to consider that the interest that the Lord has in a single soul, a man traveling through the desert. He didn't even live in the desert. He was only passing through the desert on his way from Jerusalem back down to his homeland. And the Lord sends Philip away out into the desert to meet up with just one soul. And I find that remarkable when you go back to the early part of this chapter and the opening portion there, and you read about what Philip was doing, because Philip was a busy man. It wasn't as if he was sitting about doing nothing and was looking for something to do and needing something to do. Philip was already involved in the work of the Lord. And if you go back there to chapter 8, verse 5, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake. So Philip was already engaged in a good work. He was already a busy man. He had many souls around about him. In the city of Samaria, there was a hearing for the word of God. If you read on through those following verses there at the start of the chapter, you'll read a little bit about what was happening in Samaria. The Lord was working and the Lord was saving souls. And yet the Lord comes to Philip in this place where he's laboring, busy as he is, and says, away out into the desert and just meet up with one soul. One soul. And does not that underscore, or it ought to underscore in your heart and mine, the importance that the Lord puts upon a single soul? You see, whether it's hundreds and thousands that you'll see on the film that come to the ploughing outreach and you're trying to reach them with the gospel, or whether it's just one person you're reaching. Maybe it's a family member you're trying to reach and evangelize and win for Christ. A work colleague, a friend, a neighbor. Doesn't matter whether it's many hundreds of individuals. It's important to remember the Lord is interested in one soul. Just one soul. It was Samuel Rutherford who said that if one soul from Anworth met him at God's right hand, then his heaven would be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. And maybe tonight you're seeking to win one soul. Well, be encouraged. The Lord is interested in one soul, and he's interested in what you're doing, and he would have you to persevere at what you are doing, and by the grace of God to see that soul won for Christ. But also notice here the part that the Word of God played in this man's conversion, and into the bargain, a translation of the Word of God. This man is reading the prophet Isaiah, we are told, but you will readily recognize that the translation that is here in Acts 8 is a little different to Isaiah 53, because that's the portion that he's reading from. And the explanation for the difference is the fact that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading a translation of the Old Testament. He wasn't reading in Hebrew. He was reading the Greek translation, which was known as the Septuagint. And it was a Greek translation of the Old Testament, and that's what he was reading as he is making his way back home. And that's why the translation is a little different from here to Isaiah 53, and there's not the same correspondence of the words. I don't know whether you've ever noticed that or thought about it, but that's the explanation for it. But it underscores the point. The Word of God is important in somebody's conversion. The Lord uses His Word. He even uses a translation of His Word. He uses an explanation of His Word. Because Philip gets up into the chariot and the man says, who's the prophet speaking of? He needed an explanation. So there's a time and a place as well for an explanation to be given of the Scriptures. And the Lord uses all of those in the evangelizing and the winning of souls. We're using a translation of the Scriptures, the Authorized Version. We do that down south as well, although, mind you, when you're talking to some of those men from Cork or Kerry, you'd wonder what language they were speaking. It's sometimes it's not discernible as English, but nevertheless it is. But we're using a translation. We're handing out the Word of God, and you'll see references to that. And that is important, because you will find many, many people have never had a copy of the Scriptures or never been anywhere near a copy of the Scriptures. And I'm not exaggerating in that. We're not talking about somebody in Africa or in some Muslim country. You know, that it's only a few hours' drive from where we are tonight down into Southern Ireland, the heart of it, and you will find people there and they have never been near a Bible. And that's evident by their reaction. And you'll see reference to that on the film, but there's free literature given out, there's free Bibles given out, and that in itself makes a remarkable impression, because oftentimes Roman Catholic people ask, well, why are you giving this away free? Because to them, everything in religion has a price. You pay for everything. And the fact that they could have a free Bible, I'm not exaggerating, the Lord is my witness, I'm not exaggerating when I say that there are people who have come into the marquee and when they have seen the Bible and they have been on the point of going into a state of shock, that they have got so close to a Bible. In fact, there was one woman who came in and goes, oh, a Bible. And she goes over and she says to Reverend Jonathan Crane, she says, can I touch it? And the Reverend Crane said, you can do more than touch it, you can take it. But she had never been close to a Bible, never mind pick a Bible up in her hand and read it. She had never, ever been close to a Bible. Now, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. The people live on this island and they've never been close to a Bible, never mind handle it and open it and read its message or have somebody to explain what the message is in the Bible. And we give out the free literature. We do have other languages as well. There was certainly a few years ago there would be much more demand for that, especially from Eastern Europeans, especially Polish people. And we would have a quantity of literature in various languages, but there would be some that would come in looking for other languages. But it is important that the Word of God is given out and got into the hands of people. And we're thankful for the opportunity for that, and that there are people who are interested. I think it was back 2018. Sometimes it's just difficult to keep in memory what exact year certain things have happened. That's why I've got a sheaf of notes here with me of different individuals that I have met, just myself. I try to keep a little note during the course of the 3 days. I just keep it punching into my phone, a few details, because I would always give a report in my own congregation, Newton Abbey, when I go back home at the end of the week, and it's always profitable at least to have some specific information about individuals that you've talked to. So I do try to keep some notes about various individuals that were spoken to. But there's one that stands out in mind because of the circumstances. It was we were packing up to go home on the Thursday evening. We tried to get, you can't leave the grounds before 6 p.m. So we're all packed up and ready to go. It's a long way home. It's usually into the early hours of the morning by the time I get back home to Newton Abbey direction, and then you're already thinking about preaching on the Lord's Day. So we're always anxious to get away on a Thursday evening. But we'd all packed up and we were about to leave. We usually go in and have a word of prayer in the marquee just to finish off. And we were about to go into the marquee to do that when this young man appeared. I would say he was in his early 20s. And he said to one of the brethren, "I've been trying to pick up the courage for 3 days to ask for a Bible." There's signs outside the marquee. We have signs out the road. There's plenty of signs, hundreds of signs out the road. But we're praying and hoping that as the traffic slows down to go into the car park, the fields, that people will read the sign and see that there's free literature and free tea and coffee and free calendar. And then we put our stand number and row number at the bottom of it. So, and there's people who do look us up and will tell you, "I saw the sign out the road." But this young man, he just seemed to appear out of nowhere. And he said, "I have been trying for 3 days to pluck up the courage." He says, "I've been working in one of these marquees," and he pointed just over a little way from us. And he says, "I have watched you." And he says, "For 3 days I've been trying to pick up the courage to ask for a Bible. Can I have a Bible?" And one of the men actually had to get into the trailer and try to locate the container that had been packed away with all the Bibles in it, but he was more than glad to do so. There's people who haven't had a Bible. There's people who are interested in the Bible. That's the encouraging thing. And you'll see some more references to that as well. But just quickly moving on here, I want you to think as well, with regards to the conversion of this Ethiopian eunuch, the answer to prayer that is here. And maybe that doesn't just seem all that obvious on the surface, but turn away back to 1 Kings chapter 8. And you will find a prayer that Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple that fits the Ethiopian eunuch just down to a T. And here's a prayer that was 1,000 years before it was answered. 1,000 years. Maybe you're praying a long time for some family friend, some loved one. Maybe you've prayed for years for that loved one and tonight they're still not saved. Well, the Lord hears prayer. The Lord can answer prayer even when you're long gone. Your prayers don't die just like that. It might be that the Lord tarries and he doesn't answer prayer immediately. But don't let that be a discouragement. Oftentimes the devil uses it as a discouragement and he'll come and whisper in your ear and he'll tell you, "Oh, the Lord doesn't hear your prayer. Gee, you've prayed that prayer so often." That's a lie. That's a lie. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 41. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 41. This is, as I say, Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple. And you just think about these words in relation to the Ethiopian eunuch. Moreover, Solomon was praying over a number of different scenarios. And in each one of them, then he would say, "Lord, answer prayer in this scenario." Well, here's one of those scenarios, verse 41. "Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country, for thy name's sake. For they shall hear of thy great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name." I wonder why Philip was sent by the Lord out into the desert. Was the Lord answering Solomon's prayer, 1,000-year-old prayer, when he sent Philip out into the desert? Had that man cried unto the Lord when he was up in Jerusalem and God was answering his prayer on the way home? We know the importance of prayer. We know the place that prayer has in winning souls. Souls are not easily won. It is a battle, a travail, is how the scripture pictures it, that souls are won for Christ. And may the Lord help us to travail in prayer. One final thought, very briefly. I want you to notice there as well the emptiness of Christless religion. This man was not a satisfied soul traveling home. He has been to Jerusalem. He is engaged in acts of worship. He has gone up as a proselyte to Jerusalem and worshipped the God of Israel. But as we know, at that time, the worship in Israel was Christless religion. They had missed the sufferings of the Messiah. Empty religion does not satisfy. It is only when this man meets Christ that you will discover then what it says there at the end of verse 39, that he went on his way rejoicing. He has heard of Christ, he has sought Christ, he has believed on Christ, he's been baptized, he's identified with Christ, then he goes on his way rejoicing. Christless religion is a joyless religion. Oh, how empty Christless religion is. And we know well that there's many Roman Catholic people have religion, and they are sincere about it. You could not fault them in their sincerity. But it's a Christless religion. They have been taught to respect Mary more than Jesus Christ. They have been taught to pray to Mary more than Jesus Christ. They have been taught that Mary's more merciful than Jesus Christ. That's illustrated if you know anything about the rosary beads. There's a large bead and then there's 10 little small ones. The large one is an Our Father. Say the Lord's Prayer. And then there's 10 Hail Marys. 10 prayers to Mary for every one to God. Roman Catholic people are taught that Mary is more merciful than Jesus Christ. There's no joy in that religion. There cannot be. There's no joy until you find Christ and come to know him. And that the Ethiopian eunuch had religion. He has been up and worshipped and he's coming home. He's reading. He's still not satisfied. And the Lord sends a man to meet with him. And he ends up coming to Christ and he goes on his way rejoicing. And that's what we want to see the Lord do. And thankfully the Lord has been pleased to save souls. And you'll hear a little bit about that just now as we come to see the film. So may the Lord bless those few comments to us. I trust the Lord will write them upon your own heart. Apply them to your own circumstances as well. And we'll come now and watch the film.
The Irish National Ploughing Championships commenced with the first ever inter-county ploughing competition in Corstown, Athy, on Monday the 16th of February 1931. The championships soon became an important All-Ireland event, held in September of each year, and now attracts around 300,000 visitors over the three-day event. It has expanded from a site requiring 26 acres to needing over 700 acres of land today. This includes 180 acres for ploughing, 100 acres for trade stands, and 400 acres car parking nearby.
Free Presbyterian Church had its first witness at the Ploughing Championship somewhere around 1998. It came about because I used to watch it on the television and the news reports for about a couple of years beforehand. It's held in September and RTE would send a film crew over. And I used to see all the great crowds of people and usually meeting around the Midlands. And although I had a little work going in Cork, yet nevertheless, you were always looking for an opportunity to evangelise a little further. So I got on the telephone to the Reverend Gordon Dane, who at that time was the minister in Corrigeri, Free Presbyterian Church, and also with Mr. Desi McComb, who was working under the mission board as an evangelist round the border area. And it wasn't hard to persuade these men to come along and to give us a hand. We went to Wexford, and all we had was just a big tent to stay in. And I can just remember how cold it was, even in September. But we went in and we took gospel tracts with us. And I can distinctly remember saying to the men, this isn't just a matter of evangelizing now. Let's keep our eyes and ears open. Let's survey the land, as it were, because I have a feeling that we will be coming back again. We just paid our money to go in. We give out the tracts, people would stop and talk, what's this? And we had many good opportunities. And then, of course, when we wanted to put up the stall, we had to declare our hand what we were doing. But we ran into no problems whatsoever with that. They seemed happy enough, as they have been all these years, for us to come along. At the beginning, we were running this on a very tight budget, a shoestring budget. Just wasn't the money to spare. And what we had originally was just a little parasol on a little picnic table, one of these little cheapies that you get out of one of the garden centres. And we had a great time with that. We then moved up into using a small market stall that I had been given, and that gave us a canvas over it. And then we moved from that to where we are today, into a marquee. And that's when the whole witness took on a whole new dimension.
The Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church shared the burden to spread the gospel message throughout Ireland and offered wholehearted support for more resources, both in personnel and finance. We were heartened and encouraged with the opportunity for outreach at the annual ploughing championships. Consequently, a larger team are sent each September and facilities are rented, which provide space to welcome and give opportunity for personal witness with visitors, especially relating to spiritual matters. From very humble beginnings, but with the prayers and support of God's people, the work has grown substantially. Now our presbytery sends a team of at least 12 people to do evangelism at the annual event in the Republic of Ireland. We give glory to God for thousands of souls who have been reached and for those who have been saved as a result. The ploughing championships attract international visitors and thousands of Irish people from every county in the island. Venues include various places like Kinnegad, Tullamore, Portlaoise, Athy, Carlow, Kilkenny, Hugh Ross and Cork. Each September, with a full load of literature and equipment, a team of up to 15 people travel south for the venue that year. After passing through the trade entrance queue, the team get busy unloading equipment and materials, and the many hands begin the task of setting up the tent for the outreach. Everything must be in place before the crowds arrive. Patrons have individual preferences amongst the wide variety of attractions and activities on offer over the 3 days. They make their way on foot and by various means to their area of choice in the vast 700-acre site, which is home to the championship for that year. When visitors explore the exhibitors' displays, often there are opportunities to witness as they pass the tent. Team members take every chance to pass on gospel literature and sometimes are able to engage in personal witness when people enter the tent for a cuppa or to browse the literature on display.
The book table in our marquee at the ploughing plays a very important part in our outreach every year. The book table is placed at the entrance to the marquee. At the corner of the book table, the Bibles and New Testaments are strategically placed so that it is the first item that the people see on the way in. And when people are told that the literature is free on the book table, Many are surprised at that fact, and they wonder how that could be. They're often told that someone else has paid that you might have it for free. Often that is followed by the line that that's just like the gospel and how the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for the debt for our sin on the cross and how he offers us his free salvation. And generally speaking, after that, the conversations begin to open up. On the book table, we have our Bibles and New Testaments that are all free, and the gospel prints that have been produced, farming scenes upon them in postcard form with an accompanying gospel text, which proved to be very popular indeed. Also, we have farming bookmarks with that flavour upon them, with a little gospel message on the back in 80 to 100 words in length. We have many items of literature geared towards children and free tracts and gospel booklets and so on the table. This past year, 174 Bibles were taken from the table and 93 New Testaments. Indeed, there was one teacher, a primary school teacher from Portlaoise, who took with him 60 of those prints for the little children in his class. Another teacher, an RE teacher from Clane in County Kildare, took 12 Bibles with him for his RE class that they might be in class for the pupils to make use of during their lessons.
As already mentioned, the trade exhibits occupy a huge area of around 100 acres. This makes it unlikely that patrons will be able to visit all displays in the course of a single day. Therefore, for several years, the outreach team took the initiative to contact more people by distributing gospel calendars in the aisles throughout the show. Unfortunately, this practice has had to cease because show officials decided to implement a policy of restricting distribution of leaflets and flyers to the area immediately outside a trader's own display stand. Obviously, this would have the effect of reducing the number of people reached with gospel literature. To counter this restriction, the ploughing outreach team now hire a small stand at another location in the exhibition area, and some members of the team relocate to the second smaller stand and use this additional base as another distribution point. This has helped to reach a maximum number of visitors. Please pray that this door of opportunity will remain open in the years to come.
The team distributed 20,000 gospel calendars that had been produced for the occasion. And what a wonderful blessing it was to have 20,000 with us and all 20,000 distributed. And it was lovely to see people with a readiness and a willingness to receive the gospel calendar. Early on the Tuesday morning, one Christian lady from Dunmanway in County Cork came to the book table and requested for 25 of those calendars. She would come annually to receive a quantity of calendars, and she would keep them until Christmas and give them out to her neighbours around that farming part of County Cork. And what a wonderful blessing it is to know that God's word is going forth independently of the team who worked down there at the ploughing. Another lady from County Tipperary, who works in a home for 16 retired priests, has been coming to the Marquee now for a number of years, and she came to renew the contact and to gather up more items of literature and calendars to take home for those priests. Indeed, a couple of years ago, two of those priests in that home had requested that while she was at the ploughing that she make a call to our Marquee and that she come home with literature for them. What a blessing that is to know and to understand that God is working here, there and yonder across Ireland. We were greatly encouraged. The Lord was good, and we thank him for his mercies and for the liberty that we have to proclaim his word.
The wide variety of interests catered for at the championships helps to attract the 300,000 visitors each and every year. It can be a very enjoyable experience and a time when patrons can watch the competition, browse the stands, or perhaps pamper their nostalgic pleasures. The pleasant environment, however, cannot always be guaranteed. Sometimes the September weather is unsuitable for maximum enjoyment and indulging in nostalgia. The muddy conditions have even left the team grounded for a period, literally stuck in the mud. Poor weather and heavy rain can flood more than the outside areas, but the important job of witnessing in the tent carries on, even in adverse conditions. Perhaps the most challenging is when the wind blows a severe gale, and that condition lasts for hours on end. In a recent year, the storms were so heavy that the show had to be closed for a day, and events rescheduled to an extra day by extending the event. While havoc was created by the winds, with stands being tumbled or ripped apart, we are thankful to the Lord that the Gospel Outreach stand was not severely damaged. Young and old alike are happy that the weather is often much more kind. Perhaps that's what ensures a popular annual event.
We received great encouragement indeed. On the Tuesday of the outreach, one elderly gentleman aged 78 came up to the book table, and the first question he asked was, "Can you tell me how I could be born again?" This gentleman had been searching for the truth. He had been to confession the week before and had come away very disappointed. Came into the marquee with many questions to ask. And what a question to ask in opening up a conversation. As he was witnessed to, the gospel was made clear to him and of how he could be saved and born again. Towards the end of the conversation, he said, "I would like to do that." And at the end of the conversation, he went down to the back of the marquee and he was shown the way of salvation and pointed to Christ. When he had prayed the sinner's prayer, the first thing he said was, "I have turned a corner now. This is the best day of my life. And I am no longer searching." That little man is from County Limerick, and what a blessing to meet him. And it was obvious that the Lord had been working and preparing in his heart prior to the ploughing. Shortly after he left, another young man, aged 19, from County Carlow, was asking similar questions. The first question he asked was, "What is Presbyterianism?" He was told what Presbyterianism is. He was also told that the first step that you need to take is becoming a born-again Christian. When that was explained to him, and after quite a lengthy conversation, that young lad also went down to the back of the marquee and asked the Lord to be his saviour.
While people of all ages engage in the activities and competitions offered on the day, some better prepared and more skilled than others, We long that they may become aware of their common spiritual need. It's only by having Christ that they can have genuine hope for the future.
A gentleman had visited the book table and had taken a calendar home with him, and the conversation started. He said, "I'm going to use a term that maybe you will not agree with. I am trying to break free from the whore of Babylon." We told him we agree very much with his statement. And he started to tell of how he was studying from the scriptures and saw how incompatible the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church were to the Word of God. After he had spoken at length, he started to witness to him about the need for his soul. He knew of his need of salvation. He knew what he needed to do. He was only a step away from the kingdom. And again, that man from County Cavan went down to the back of the marquee behind the partition and asked the Lord into his heart. And what a wonderful thrill that was for everyone in the team. Gave everyone a lift. And we saw how the Lord had been working in hearts up until the ploughing. That was a wonderful blessing indeed.
It is vital that those who are witnessing at the ploughing outreach should be guided and assisted by the Holy Spirit as to how and when to approach a visitor on spiritual matters. Striking up a conversation is key, and being a good listener is just as important as positively witnessing for the Lord when the opportunity arises. While the team rejoices in those who have found saving faith in Christ at the ploughing and elsewhere as a result, the work is largely a case of sowing the good seed of the word amongst those who have never heard the good news of the gospel. May the precious seed fall on well-prepared and well-cultivated soil. Today in Ireland, many have turned from religion to materialism and worldly pleasures. Others are still trying to work their way to heaven and involved in idol worship and praying to the saints for help, unaware that salvation can be found by faith alone in Christ alone.
On behalf of the Ploughing Outreach team, I want to thank you for your prayerful, practical and financial support of this work. By your faithful support, the outreach at the Irish National Ploughing Championships has now been maintained for over 20 years. This has meant that thousands of people from the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland and Great Britain and further afield have been reached with the gospel. Also, the Ploughing Outreach team must thank the Lord that souls have been saved and believers have been blessed through this witness. With the words of 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, we can say, "Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us." In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse number 11, Paul says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." And by these words, he was telling the Corinthians that they had been a help to him in his missionary labours by their prayers. Likewise, child of God, by your prayers, you too can be a great help and encouragement to the outreach team at the Ploughing Championships. And as you continue to pray for this work, pray that the Lord will be honoured through the witness. Pray that the door will ever remain open. Pray that the Lord will give wisdom to the team in all their plans. Pray for favourable weather and safety for all involved, for the right location for the marquee, and that hearts would be open and receptive to God's word, and that sinners would be saved and believers would be encouraged, and that the Lord might use the witness even to open up other doors for the preaching of the gospel in the Irish Republic. Thank you for your interest, and may the Lord bless you also in your witness and service for God, and may we do all that we can to spread the gospel. For the Bible tells us the night cometh when no man can work.
trust that fills you in a little bit on what goes on at the ploughing outreach and the different aspects of it. And if I can just take a few moments and mention some matters for prayer. There's really the three main areas of the outreach, and that is giving out the calendars, then the book, the literature on the book table, and then the conversations that take place as well. And we were giving out more calendars than the last few years. It was mentioned there on the film how there's been some complaints about people giving out literature away from their stand, and it seems that we were being singled out particularly. There was one of the officials were complaining where we were actually standing outside our own marquee, and the Dogs Trust was over opposite us, but he wasn't saying anything to them, and they were out getting people to get their card out and sign up to a direct debit and all the rest of it, and he never mentioned anything to them. So there was certainly a feeling that maybe somebody had come to work out who we were and didn't like what we were doing. But do pray the Lord would bless the giving out of the calendars. 20,000 was mentioned there. There was a year we were giving out somewhere in the region of 37,000, almost double that, because we were able to spread out and go out around the site and give out more. But nevertheless, the Lord is able to use his word. And even since the last time we were there, 2019, there was a lady, her husband, if I just get my note out here, they lived down around the border area, and her husband brought home literature and the calendar with a pack and left it in the house. And after some time, she took it out and started reading it, and he had a Bible in it as well. And through the reading of the Bible, she came to know Christ. And she went and told her cousin about what she had done, and her cousin said, I want to read that Bible as well. And she came to Christ as well. And those two women, I don't know how they made the connection, but one day they decided, we're going to travel to Banbridge, and we're going to go into that Let the Bible Speak book shop in Banbridge and have a conversation with those people and tell them what we've done. So the two ladies arrived in one day to the Let the Bible Speak shop there in Banbridge, and it was Mrs. Patterson, the Reverend Andrew Patterson's wife, who's the manager of it, and she was there. So they started telling her what they had done. So that's how we know of what had happened. And those two women had come to Christ as a result of the literature that one of their husbands had brought home from the ploughing. So pray the Lord would use his word. There is a little track in the bag. The bag is clear, and that's what we hand to people. So when you're handing it out, that's what they see. But there is a track in it. The Bible tells you to be as wise as serpents. So there is a gospel track as well. They might know it. The bag is a little bigger, because if they put other things into it, the more likelihood it's all going to go home. And that's what you want, is somebody to take it home. And you're praying then that when they start unpacking it, that they'll start to read and put the calendar up. There is the little explanation of the gospel on the front page, the very front page of the calendar inside. So if somebody is concerned and troubled about the gospel text and the Lord is speaking, well, there's information there, contact information, but also a little explanation of the gospel. And we know the Lord has used his word in that way, so do pray the Lord will bless that. I've mentioned the Bibles there. The Reverend Jonathan Crane mentioned the number that's taken in the course of 3 days, and there'll be the same number of those little pocket New Testaments that the Trinitarian Bible Society produces. About the same number of those would be taken as well. Especially a lot of young people would take those. I remember one time being at the book table, and there was a group of young fellas that had come in. They're all making their way round and looking, and some of them were picking up some things. And the very last of them, he reached out and picked up one of those little pocket New Testaments. And just as he looked up, our eyes met, and he knew that I had seen him take it and put it in his pocket. And what he said to me was, and I quote him, he says, I will read that in the hayshed when nobody else is about. So there's many who pick up a copy of the scriptures and maybe don't want anybody to know that they've done it, but pray the Lord would make them read his word and that the Lord would use it. So there's much literature that goes out, and then also the conversations that take place. Pray that the Lord would bless those. maybe somewhere in the region of 1,000 people would come into the marquee over the 3 days for tea and coffee. That's not counting people who have already got tea and coffee somewhere else and come in just to browse the book table. Those are people that come in actually to get tea and coffee, and we try to get a conversation going with them. You don't get into a long conversation with everybody. There's some people that are just not wanting to talk about anything, and certainly anything spiritual. There's others that do, and there's others that will sit for some time, ask you questions, even young people. And that is the surprising thing in many regards, is the number of young people that are willing to sit and ask questions and want to know. Not them all. There's some things, sometimes it's funny what happens. It must have been 2019, there was a group of young fellas came in, and they got tea, and it was pretty hot tea, as you imagine. And they're all sitting there, and one of them says, in dead seriousness, he says, when's the mass going to be said? And I said, there is no mass being said. We're Protestants. Well, you never seen fellas leave a marquee as quickly in your life. They literally spilt the tea over themselves to get out the door of the marquee when they heard Protestant. We can't stay here. But there's many that do come in, as I say, over 1,000 that would come in. Do remember, there's some things on the both doors going out. Those are some of the prints that are off the calendar. They're 50p each if you're interested in taking them. There's a gospel text on them if you want to use them for outreach yourself. And farmers might want the particular colour of a tractor. And I've been at a few churches and they've said, have you no red ones or have you no blue ones? So there should be red and blue and green as well. So the little bookmarks, and as mentioned, there's a little gospel summary on the back of those bookmarks as well. Again, if you're interested, they're 20p, and all the proceeds are going back into the outreach, and you can pick some of those up. What is free is a little prayer card that you would pick it up and take it and remember to pray for the work. If you're interested in supporting it financially, there's details there on the side of it that you can to do that. It costs about £10,000 a year to run the outreach, to buy all the literature, to cover the cost of all the hiring that takes place on the site, and then for whoever goes down to stay in guest house. And you can appreciate they're at a premium, especially close. Some years where we have been staying maybe 25 mile or 30 mile away sometimes in order to get reasonable accommodation. And places that we know, and some of the guest house owners have got to know us, and they're happy to have us, even let us have prayer meetings in their home. One time we thought we were leaving them and moving on because they were going to change location, and we give them actually study Bibles. There were two homes particularly that we stayed in beside each other, and we give both of the couples a Bible each. And then a few years back later, we were back again with them, and one of the men said, you know, he says, I've been reading that Bible. And he died very suddenly, shortly after that. And the guest house was closed, and the lady moved out and moved away from the area. But you just wonder, you just pray that something that was said, something that he read, that he came to Christ and sought the Lord. But I've taken enough of your time. Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. And we'll hand